Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The word of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus said, I have come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. I don't think this is anybody's favorite Bible passage. It's a passage we don't know quite what to do with it, and we don't want anything to do with it. There are all those people out at the beach probably looking out at the waves, thinking about porpoises and whales, and we're left with fire and division and wishing that it were already kindled. This is a passage I used to give to my associates when I was the rector here. From the date that I was chosen to preach, I think Rachel remembered that. What is Luke trying to tell us? What is Jesus trying to tell us? This is a passage that's about hypocrisy and integrity. It's about who we are and who we could be. One of the things about being a minister is nobody ever presents to themselves who they really are. So I'd be sitting in my office and I'd be the last person to know anything. I'd be the last person to know if someone was sick. I'd be the last person to know if someone had lost their job. Not because I was inattentive, but simply because when people come to church, they come and present this self that may or may not bear any relation to their true self. My mother-in-law, whenever she went to the doctors, would put on makeup, get dressed to the nines, and say, I am perfectly fine. Doctors say, I love seeing people like you. You're always perfectly fine. Then she'd go out, go home, and come back, oh God, I'm not going to make it through the day. But really, all of us are like that. In this passage, this was one of Luke's favorite themes. Luke's favorite theme was, be who you are, be who you truly are in Christ. So Luke is the guy that wrote about the mote in your neighbor's eye while there's a beam in your own. Luke is the guy that wrote about the Pharisees getting on Jesus for healing on the Sabbath at the same time people were watering their oxen, untying them, and doing a variety of other daily chores. Because the hypocrites will always sweat the small stuff. And they will always miss the big stuff. And the big stuff, this passage asks, is who are you? And how do you get to be you? How do you let the Christ that is within you get out? So I have a passage today from a short story that I want to read you. How many people here read Flannery O'Connor? Come on, you can admit it, Judy. Flannery O'Connor is a great Southern author that was read a lot in the 60s. I would recommend her to everyone here. If you have not read Flannery O'Connor, you should. And so I'm going to read you this short story called Revelation. And it's from a story collection called Everything That Rises Must Converge. It's a story about a woman, Mrs. Ruby Turpin. And she's a good Christian woman. She's waiting in the waiting room in the doctor's office, where she gets into a conversation with a pleasant woman, much like herself, about being hardworking and being clean and having a good disposition. In the course of this conversation, she makes it clear that having all those things make her superior to everybody else. As she goes on in this vein, there's a younger woman who is mentally ill there, who hears this conversation and takes a book and throws it at her and hits her just above the eye. Mrs. Turpin complains to God. I go to church. I give to charity. I help others. I work from dawn till dusk. Why me? So she goes home from the doctor's office and she goes down to slop the pigs in the hog waller. And while slopping the pigs, then like a monumental statue coming to life, she bent her head slowly and gazed as if through the very heart of mystery down into the pig parlor at the hogs. They had all settled in one corner around the old sow who was grunting softly. A red glow suffused them. They appeared to pant with a secret life until the sun finally slipped behind the tree line. Mrs. Turpin remained there with her gaze bent to them as if she were absorbing some abysmal life-giving knowledge. At last she lifted her head. There was only a purple streak in the sky, cutting through a field of crimson and leading like an extension of the highway into the descending dusk. She raised her hands from the side of the pen in a gesture heretic and profound. A visionary light settled in her eyes. She saw the streak as a vast swinging bridge extending upward from earth through a field of living fire. Upon it, a vast horde of souls were tumbling towards heaven. There were whole companies of white trash, clean for the very first time in their lives, and a battalion of freaks and lunatics, shouting and clapping and leaping like frogs, and bringing up the end of the procession was a tribe of people whom she recognized, at once as those who, like herself and Claude, had always had a little bit of everything and the God-given wit to use it right. She leaned forward to observe them closer, marching behind the others with great dignity and accountability, as they had always been for good order and common sense and respectable behavior. They were Episcopalians. They alone, John, were on key. Yet she could see by their shocked and altered faces, even their virtues were being burned away. She lowered her hands and gripped the rail of the hog pen, her eyes small but fixed unblinkingly on what lay ahead. In a moment, the vision faded, but she remained where she was, immobile. At length she got down and turned off the faucet and made her slow way on the darkening path into the house. In the woods around her, the invisible cricket choruses had struck up, but what she heard were the voices of the souls climbing heavenward, upward into the starry field, and shouting, "Hallelujah." This is a story about being yourself and about presenting yourself as who you really are. And that's where the fire and division comes in today's passages. Pharisees were hypocrites because that's not who they were. They presented a pious facade, but that was not them. They said they believed in the Word of God, yet the Word of God stood before them and they did not know Him. They rejected Him. And in many ways, we are like them. We come to church and then we leave. And in church we're one person, and out there we're another person. At home we're one person. Out in public we're another person. We're so many people, we hardly know who we are. And Jesus comes to bring fire and division and wants us to be who we really are, and who we really are, every single one of us, is children of God. And we cannot be morally superior to anyone unless our love comes from God and love of our neighbor. And the fire that purifies us is the fire that lets us be whom we will. In the words of institution in today's service, it says, "Merciful God, send now in kindness your Holy Spirit to settle on this bread and wine and fill them with the Spirit of Jesus. And let that same Spirit rest on us, converting us from the patterns of this passing world until we conform to the shape of Him in whose food we now share." Amen.